And thanks be to God, and thanks Gower for that reading. Welcome to church, everyone. Hope you felt welcome as well. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage today. What are some of the things that I'm learning in my life? I am currently studying a Master's of Theology, and so I am learning about the sociology of honour and shame, which is a very interesting topic. I'm also taking karate classes, and that will actually be the explanation for why I have to apologise in advance for maybe being a little bit late over the next couple of weeks, because I have to get up to Gosford to do some training and then come back in time for church. That tests my driving skills, I think, even more than it does my karate skills. Today we're going to be learning, and we're probably going to be learning a different thing than most of us are used to. We're going to be learning how to pray. And we're going to be learning how to pray from Jesus, the master of prayer, and we're going to see this from Luke chapter 11. And so I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask for God's help before we get into his word. If you feel comfortable, please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Lord, we pray that your scripture may teach us today. Please let us learn to pray with faithfulness and fervor. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been a long time since I have seen an episode of Australian Idol. I don't know if the TV show is still going. This is a reality show where contestants sing songs and they compete for fame and prize money. The winner usually gets some sort of record deal and becomes really, really famous, both in Australia and around the world. When I watched it, there was some amazing talent on the show, well worth listening to. But especially in some of the earlier episodes in the season, they used to interview some of the contestants who went to the initial auditions, people who were like just standing in line, and some of them would be supremely confident. They would be like, yeah, you know, I reckon I can win this whole competition. And then they would cut to their actual audition, and their singing would be terrible. They would sing like me. And you could see the judges just cringing at their performance, and the audience is just cringing with them. You almost feel sorry for them. You pity them. Because there is something sad about someone who thinks they know how to do something, but can't actually do it. Do you know how to pray? Do you know what to pray? Do you know how to have the right kind of heart when you pray? Or maybe does God cringe at your prayers? Or maybe God cringes at your lack of prayer? You see, in our passage today, we are going to see a group of people who did not know how to pray. But to their credit, they did the right thing about it. They came to Jesus, the master of prayer, and Jesus shares how he prays, both with them and with us, so that we all can learn how to pray. We are in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus is currently on the road to Jerusalem. He is headed to the place where he knows he is going to die for our sins. Along the way, he is going through villages and towns and cities, and he is helping people in those towns, and he is teaching in them as well. And there is this time when Jesus' disciples, his followers, observe Jesus praying in verse 1. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. This is a request that I hope that we can all bring to Jesus. We should all want to pray better, pray more fervently, more fruitfully, with a better heart as we pray. And this is actually a request that if we bring it to Jesus, Jesus actually answers this for us. Because as our passage continues, Jesus tells us, firstly, what to pray, and secondly, how to pray. And so firstly, what to pray, verses 2 to 4. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, the big thing that I want us to notice from here is that Jesus' prayer is fixated on the kingdom of God. Jesus prays for the advance of God's kingdom. He prays for the retreat of the devil's kingdom. And he prays for the minimization of our kingdom. As you can see, he prays for the advance of God's kingdom. He prays, "Hallowed be your name." Jesus wants God's name to be respected by more and more people. Jesus prays, "Your kingdom come." Jesus wants God to be king, and he wants people to treat God as king by trusting him and loving him and obeying him. See, basically, Jesus is praying for more disciples of all nations. The first thing on Jesus' mind when he prays is the advance of God's kingdom. But Jesus also prays for the converse of that as well. Jesus prays for the retreat of the devil's kingdom. And this is when he prays, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." The devil is the enemy of God. The devil wants people to ignore God. He wants sin to be rampant. He tempts people in the hope that they will give in and be consumed by their sin. And Jesus looks at that. He looks at the devil's portfolio, and he wants nothing to do with that. Jesus, when he looks at the devil's work, he thinks, "I want that to die." And so he prays. He prays that instead of people being swallowed up by sin, that sin will be swallowed up instead by repentance and by forgiveness. He prays that as people come to believe that Jesus came to die for their sins, they will turn away from their sins. They will become disgusted by them. Jesus prays for the retreat of the devil's kingdom. And then finally, Jesus prays for the minimization of our kingdom. What does Jesus pray for himself in this prayer? Well, what should we pray for ourselves? Well, Jesus just prays, "Give us each day our daily bread." You know, isn't it startling that when Jesus prays for himself, he wants nothing more than his own sustenance, his own survival. He doesn't pray for anything more than food. And even when he's praying for food, it's the most plain, unassuming food it is. It's just his daily bread. He doesn't pray, "Give us this day our daily 450-gram Wagyu beef steak with mushroom jus and beer batter chips," right? He just prays for daily bread. He's praying to God, "God, just give me enough that I can serve your kingdom rather than my own. Because your kingdom is better than mine. Your kingdom is more glorious than mine. This is what I truly want." When Jesus gives a template for prayer, his prayer is maximum God, minimum me. He prays for the expansion of God's kingdom, not our kingdom. He prays for the achievement of God's plans, not our plans. In the words of the Reverend Simon Manchester, Jesus prays to God, "Take my life, not bless my plans." And I think this is a good thing for us to learn, because I think for most of us, I think the proportions in our prayers need to be reversed. Our hearts and minds need to be caught up in God's kingdom, like Jesus was, not in our own kingdoms. Because doesn't Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 say, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now, can we pray for other things? Are we allowed to do that? Can we pray for healing when we're sick? Can we pray for exams? Can we pray for job interviews? Sure we can. Philippians chapter 4 encourages us to pray for anything that makes us anxious. We want to trust these things to God. We should be praying for these things. God wants to hear that from us. But there are things that God wants to hear more. My kids talk to me about all sorts of things. They share with me their gaming achievements, their sporting achievements. They tell me about the projects at school that they're working on. They tell me about the shenanigans that other kids get up to in the playground. Never their shenanigans, of course. They talk to me and they ask me about all sorts of things. They ask me for time to hang out with friends, for screen time, for snacks. Whenever they talk to me, I listen with them. And I talk with them about all these things because I believe that caring for a person means caring about even the littlest things in their lives. But at the same time, I hope that my kids say certain things to me that are more important. I love hearing their questions about God. I love hearing that they invited people to church or to Christmas in July. And what I really hope to hear one day is them saying to me, "Dad, I think I'm a Christian." You know, thus far, it's been us saying to them, "You are a Christian," but I will love it when they own it for themselves. And this is an attitude that I try and take into all my conversations, not just with my kids, but with everyone, that when I talk with people, I want to be the kind of person who finds everything interesting, but one thing important. Because that is how God treats us. God is interested in everything. He made everything. But what he really wants is for us to love and enjoy his kingdom. If we learn from Jesus what to pray, we will be fixated on the kingdom of God. But Jesus doesn't just teach us what to pray. He also teaches us how to pray. He tells us the kind of heart that we should have as we pray. And that is verses 5 to 13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Two big things to take away here. First thing, God is more than your friend, so ask boldly. Second thing, God is more than your father, so trust joyfully. First thing, God is more than your friend. This is the first half of this passage where Jesus tells this story about visiting a friend in the middle of the night and asking to borrow food. This is a situation here that Jesus is presenting that violates all decorum. It is the height of rudeness to do something like this, right? You come to a guy like this, you are disturbing his wife and kids, you're disturbing the running of his household, you are getting in his way. Imagine one night, Gar and Izzy have just put Emma to bed. She is finally sleeping soundly. And they have just gone to bed as well. They are catching up on all the sleep that they have lost. This is a rare chance for them to rest. And you're at their bedroom window. You're kind of staring in this kind of creepy stalker kind of fashion. And you are beating on their window. "Gower, I need to borrow your coffee machine. I've got friends here. They like coffee. Gower." Now, that is the kind of situation that Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus says in verse 8, right, though he will not get up and give him anything because of his friend, he's basically saying there, look, just being a friend is not enough to get someone out of bed in that situation. Jesus then continues, though, and says, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Impudence there means not having any social sensitivity as to what is appropriate, right? You've got no social skills, right? You ask in a way that is completely inappropriate. Jesus says your friend will do it just to shut you up. And I'm sure that Gara will too. Now, Jesus is not saying here God doesn't like being disturbed, right? He's sleeping, but if you keep annoying God, he'll give you what you want. Jesus is not saying that God is like your sleeping friend. He is saying that God is better than your sleeping friend. And if a friend like that will give you what you ask when you ask boldly, how much more will God give to you if you ask him boldly? And I think this is something that our church in particular really needs to hear. I've been at this church for, 11, 12 years. I've seen us pray over the course of these years. There are a lot of praises and compliments that I would give about the way our church prays. Our prayers are frequent. They are theologically correct. They're guided by Scripture. They have a great trust in the sovereignty of God. But I don't think that I would describe our prayers as bold, gutsy, confident, impudent, audacious, or verging on inappropriateness. Now, I think we probably play it a bit too safe with our prayers. Probably because we're afraid of being disappointed if God doesn't respond. We hedge our bets between God and the world, reluctant to fully commit to God. And Jesus says about that in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, most of us are not the kind of people who would get out in the middle of the night to bang on a friend's door. You know, we tend to wait for the invite, like if one of us buys a new house, and most of us wouldn't bang on their door and say, you know, I'm here to visit. But God says, when you pray, you get out in the middle of the night and you bang on my door. You be inappropriate. You know, Jesus says that correct etiquette doesn't lead to God answering your prayers. Boldness does. I went to a pastor's meeting this week, you know, local pastors in the Hornsby area. I mentioned as a prayer point that our church was doing a renovation. We had just gotten council approval. And another pastor prayed, dear God, we pray for Mike's church. We thank you in advance for the completion of this renovation. And the Calvinist in me was like, whoa, you know, I don't know if you can do that with the sovereignty of God. But there was a boldness there. There was an impudence that was completely in line with Scripture and was refreshing and encouraging. As we pray for God's kingdom, we know that God is more than our friend. So ask boldly. Second thing, God is more than your father, so trust joyfully. This is the bit where Jesus says, if you ask for a fish, your dad is not going to give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, your dad isn't going to give you a scorpion. Most fathers know not to do that. They know how to give good things to their kids. They give us more than we deserve and more than we need. There was a time when I was a kid when every week before my piano lesson, my dad would take me to Coles and get me a little Transformers toy. You know, I didn't even ask for it. He just got it for me. There were times when I've asked my dad, could I get this book? He didn't even ask, what's this book about? He just got it. I'm sure that most of us can remember times when our fathers have been generous to us. But Jesus is saying here, your father might be generous, but God is even more generous. Because God gives you a gift that no earthly father can give. God gives you a gift that is better than any gift you could get on earth. God gives you his Holy Spirit, verse 13. The Holy Spirit is God dwelling in our hearts. He brings in God's kingdom. We need the Holy Spirit to answer our prayers, to hallow God's name. We need the Holy Spirit to treat God as King, to believe in Jesus, to be forgiven of our sins, to say no to temptation and the evil one. It is no exaggeration to say that the Holy Spirit is the key to the truest desires of our hearts. And Jesus is saying here, God has given his Holy Spirit to us, and he will give his Spirit to us. And so as we pray for God's kingdom, we can trust God joyfully. God will give his Spirit. God will make his people more like Jesus. He will bring in his kingdom. He will rid the universe of sin and temptation and evil. Because God knows how to give good things to his children. Our earthly fathers can't do this, but our heavenly fathers can. Heavenly Father, sorry, singular. God is more than our Father, so we can trust him joyfully. And so in light of Jesus teaching us how to pray, can I encourage you to get a few basic things right as your pastor? I think I'd say, firstly, develop a habit of daily prayer. Why should it be daily? Kind of, does it say that in the Bible? Well, it kind of does, because Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, give us each day our daily bread. He doesn't say give us our monthly bread or our annual supply of bread. There is this assumption that when people pray, they will pray daily to God. And if you want to pray the Lord's Prayer word for word every day, you can do that. And I reckon you'd be pretty good. You'd be doing better than most. You'd be praying like Jesus taught you to pray. But there are other prayers in the Bible as well that are not the Lord's Prayer. And you can pray those kinds of things as well for those kinds of priorities. But they are all centered on God's kingdom. My daily routine is to read a little bit of the Bible in the morning and to pray from that passage that I read. That's how I guard myself against selfish prayers. I pray for my day, pray for my family, and I have a card that has prayer points from you guys on it, and I pray through that. I cross off the answered prayers when God answers prayer, and I thank God for them too. Your habits are probably going to be different from mine, but can I encourage you to make prayer a daily habit at least? You know that something is a habit when it feels weird when you don't do it, when you miss it. But until then, you have to work at it. It's not going to be easy. And we shouldn't expect it to be easy, because the devil does not want us to pray. This is a spiritual struggle that we are involved in. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, develop that habit of daily prayer. But some of us have got that habit pretty good. You know, we've got it pretty down pat. And if that's you, can I encourage you to do a different thing? Can I encourage you to develop a habit of spontaneous prayer? Do not confine your time with God to just 15 minutes in your morning. God is in control of all your life. So bring all of your life under God. Bring your life all under God's kingdom. If you see a random person walking in the street, why not pray silently that he or she becomes a Christian? When you hear an ambulance siren, why not pray that things will be okay? When you're going about your Monday to Saturday, maybe think to yourself, I wonder what the rest of the people in my church are doing, and pray for them. Would you not pray to God at the beginning of our day in order to forget about him for the rest of our day? And so develop a habit of spontaneous prayer. I hope that you've seen, as we've delved into this passage, that all of us still have a long way to go in our prayer. We need to say, like Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus does teach us. He teaches us not to be lazy, but to be diligent and disciplined in prayer. He teaches us not to be selfish, but to pray for God's kingdom and not our own. He teaches us not to be timid, but to pray bold prayers. And he teaches us not to be doubting, but to believe that God will do it. He will send his Holy Spirit. So let us be a church that learns more and more how to pray. I'm going to pray now, and I thought it'd be appropriate if I prayed the Lord's Prayer. So please join with me as we pray. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen.